Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM.
Brighton will hold its annual pop-up Pride event on Saturday, June 21st. As you will hear in this interview with Megan Fox, one of the organizers, there are lots of new things taking place, plus some of the favorites from the past. The family-oriented event is just one of the ever-expanding list of various happenings over June in celebration of Pride Month in Brighton. From its humble beginnings, Pop-Up Pride raises money for the local youth center, which serves young people year-round. This program has grown and continues to expand to meet the needs of the community. You will also learn about the growing support by residents, the business community, and Brighton politicians. Have a listen. I'm so pleased to have with me today Megan Fox, organizer of Pop-Up Pride in Brighton. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks, Rob. I'm happy to be here.
This is your third annual Pride event for Brighton. What's new this year?
Oh, boy. Where to begin? I mean, every year it just gets bigger and better. And thanks to all the hard work that Amy McQuaid puts up for it. This year we'll have, you know, a new art booth. We've always had a craft station. We're doing karaoke again, the karaoke contest, but with bigger and better prizes. We have more tables than we do booked than last year, and several new vendors. So all kinds of new stuff that I can't even really wrap up succinctly.
Have you brought some things back from the past?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the karaoke contest and the craft station. Last year, our craft station was, we were looking to do a mural project. So we had the town come out and decorate little squares, and we used it to make a mural in the youth center that Pop-Up Pride directly fundraises for. But this year, we're doing a button making station. So the community will be able to design their own buttons, and one of our lead volunteers, Will Clark, will be making them into their own personalized buttons.
What have you learned from the previous events that you're applying to this one?
I think the number one thing is just getting a large run-up with advertising and building partnerships. So as the years have progressed, we've found new connections, new partnerships, and all of those things we were able to come into Pride season early with because we sort of collaborated over the year leading up to this moment. So that's kind of what's really putting a lot more meat on the bones of this thing that we've been building.
You're talking about collaborations. Can you give us an example of a new collaboration that took place over the past year?
Yeah, so Northumberland Pride, for one, we were just there this weekend, this past weekend, which was the 7th, I believe. And by we, I mean the youth center. Pop-Up Pride is Amy's brainchild, but she does it to raise funds for this community center that I host. And they invited us and Pop-Up Pride to come and advertise at Northumberland Pride. And we handed out heaps of flyers. People were even taking volunteer sheets because we had a volunteer sign-up sheet because we really need all hands on deck for Pop-Up Pride.
Can you give us a quick refresher of the history of this event?
Yeah. So this, as you said, Rob, is our third year. It kind of came to fruition before the youth center was open. And at that time, I believe Amy was just doing it because we needed an actual Pride event. The church, Trinity St. Andrews, here in town had a Pride walk, and we felt like we needed more than one Pride event. And so it started 3 years ago with It fell on the same weekend as the Pride Walk from Trinity St. Andrews. And now what we've done is we're starting Pride with the St. Andrews Walk and we're ending it with Pop-Up Pride. So we actually have like a whole bunch of events. Actually, we just did another one on Saturday with Drag Storytime. So what's really awesome about Pop-Up Pride is it started as this one thing that was really just trying to build on what was happening with Trinity St. Andrews. And now it's turned into a multitude of events. So we're creating our own Pride Week here.
You've mentioned a number of times now this youth center, and I know that it was very seminal in bringing together all of this. Can you just give us a background of the story behind that youth center and what it does in the community?
My, do we have all afternoon? It started about 6 years ago when I had my first business. I was running an art show out of the back, and the vibe of the art show was just like a cool grandpa's den. And it turns out queer teens love that. They love that vibe. And so I always wanted to make it legitimate. And then when Amy came up with the idea for Pop-Up Pride, and by legitimate, I mean, I was really just financing the whole thing out of my own pocket and, you know, keeping the lights on for these kids because I saw a need and I wanted to fill that need. So when Amy came up with the idea for Pop-Up Pride, it kind of just made sense that, well, we should really find an organization to partner with. And we partnered with PARN, the Peterborough AIDS Resource Network, and, you know, raise funds, and they can help us allocate those funds and work on insurance policy and other policies. And that's pretty much how we got to today. So each year, Pop-Up Pride got bigger and better, which meant the youth center got bigger and better. And I'm sitting in it now, 1 year since we finished all the renovations and filling it with all the stuff. And all I see is I see a bit of a mess, but that's because it's been used, which is the intention.
How many young people do you serve through the youth center?
Oh, my. So I would say we have about 12 to 15 regular kids who are here, you know, more than once a week. We know them by name. They know us. They're very comfortable with us. But there have been moments where we have had up to like 20 kids in the center at one time, to the point where we've had to say to some other kids, okay, guys, like, the fire chief does not want any more people in here. So you're going to have to, we can leave the door open, but you have to stand outside. So the only real hurdle we've found in the last year is just needing more space.
And what sort of things do you do at the center that attract the young people?
Mostly it's the drop-in program that we host and the Dungeons and Dragons and art programs that we run. I find a lot of the kids, they're kind of burnt out at the end of the school day. They're burnt out with, you know, the ups and downs of teen social life. So really, they just want to come here. They want to play a game where they can escape. They want to immerse themselves in one of the books we have. Here we have an entire bookshelf of just queer literature. And we have a comic series called Heartstopper that's been really popular. Thankfully, somebody donated backup copies, so we have enough copies for all kids. But they really just come to just be themselves, and that was the exact intention, you know. And I wanted it to happen organically, and of course it did. So it's good to see them come and stay and lounge and just, again, talk about those ups and downs.
On June 15th, there is the Pride Walk and Worship. You've already referenced it. Mm-hmm. But for those who may not remember, could you remind us about this group in Brighton and what its role is within the community?
Happily. So Trinity St. Andrews is the United Church here in Brighton. And again, I got in touch with them about 3 years ago when Amy started doing Pop-Up Pride, and I was helping her organize and volunteer with that. I've got nothing but great things to say about Trinity St. Andrews and all the folks that attend. I didn't realize that the United Church was actually like a splinter denomination of Christianity because they've always been you know, of the belief that, you know, everybody is God's children in their eyes and everybody is equally loved and, you know, deserving. And so it's always been in alignment with them to be supporters of, you know, the movement that strives for 2S LGBTQ rights. So yeah, that's why they started the walk before we even had Pop-Up Pride, because it was already sort of in their mandate to do so.
Has anything changed over the past year in terms of the level of services for gay youth in Brighton? I'm talking now beyond the church and beyond yourself, but are there things going on in the broader community?
Oh, that's a tough question. I don't know if I have any data to back that up. What I do see, though, is with more visibility that's being created, people are more openly showing support. Now, that said, there are a lot of people that don't show their support pretty openly, both online and in person. But you will see, like, the general population is very protective over our queer community, especially our kids. And I think it's pretty hard to convince people not to stand up for kids, you know, and we're not just talking about little kids. We're talking about teens who are pretty autonomous, right? You know, they can tell us how they're feeling and they can tell us when they feel supported and safe. And so it really does warm my heart when I hear the kids give feedback on that. Trinity St. Andrews had a Pi Day celebration, and they used it. Pi Day is usually for mathematicians, but underutilized by mathematicians, that according to Trinity St. Andrews. So they made it another queer celebration day, and they did it at the library. The library is a huge partner with all of these different organizations. They were actually the ones who hosted Drag Story Time, which is one of the new events that we are running during Pride Month. We just had it last weekend. Maybe next year we'll do more than one. You know, we'll see. But at the Pi Day celebration, a lot of the kids from the youth center came and said how they didn't realize how many people in this town supported them and how it felt good that they were so safe.
If anyone is tracking the rights of gay people in the United States right now, things are changing. Mm-hmm. The president has signed specific executive orders saying it is the policy of the United States to recognize two sexes, male and female. Are you seeing the impact of these actions and others playing out in your community?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, it's not direct actions. It's always, like I said, it's always something online. And I find it really ironic that people are really brave to say these things online, even with their full name on display, but they would never say it to our faces. And that just tells me that, you know, there's a comfort in them having those opinions, but when it comes to having to defend them, you know, if that's what they truly believe, I don't think that they feel confident that they could defend them in a public sphere, you know. Long gone are the days of the actual soapbox, and now people can just log off and ignore it and start a bit of a flame war. But otherwise, you know, other than a few errant comments, that tells me it's still kicking, that kind of feeling, people are mostly, they mostly shun those beliefs. I think, again, when you look at the core of what a lot of those bills and legislations are a part of, it really is derived from othering a group and saying that this group is normal, quote unquote, and then this group is subhuman, basically, and doesn't deserve the rights that everybody else does. And when you put it to people like that, it really reframes the way they think about it. The example I usually give to people is, you know, there was a time not so long ago where women weren't perceived as women if they wore pants, and how ridiculous that is. And a lot of people who push back against, you know, queer rights probably think that women should wear pants, so, or could wear pants. So it's kind of like, you know, how draconian do you want to be with this, you know? Or is a lot of it just made up, and a lot of it is just sort of societal expectation?
Do you feel you have the support of local politicians in the things that you do?
100%, completely and totally. Pretty much all of council, no, all of council is a supporter of us. I say pretty much because the only one I haven't directly spoken to since starting the youth center is our new counselor, Hannah McCausland. But of course, it's a small town, so I know Hannah personally, and, you know, I know that she's got big love in her heart. The mayor is a huge supporter of us, as he's a member of Trinity St. Andrews. So he often spearheads a lot of these events. He's at the walk with us all the time. He makes it out to Pop-Up Pride. He comes around the youth center, and actually council as a whole did move during the municipal grant round of donations or fundraising. The municipality did fund the youth center again this year as they did last year. So that would tell me that everybody on council believes in what we do.
I know we have spoken in the past about the bench and the crosswalk. What's the current status of those public works?
They have been untouched, I believe, for the last year, which is nice. It's kind of like, you know, you can grind it down, but we're just going to come back and repaint it. And, you know, it's a shame when those things happen, when vandalism happens. But, you know, the people never tire. They never tire of supporting one another and believing in all of our right to exist.
I noticed this year on your promotional material that you got a lot of support from local businesses. How is the business community responding to this event?
They seem to be excited about it. The DBIA has reached out and expressed a desire to be involved and financially back the event. Of course, all the businesses, again, the DBIA put out inclusivity flags years ago, and the majority of businesses have hung them in the windows. They've donated to the prize lots for the karaoke contest, and a lot of the business owners also show up as volunteers for the event.
Do you have any plans for expansion or developing new programs over the upcoming year?
For outside of Pride Month, you mean? Yes, I mean, of course, we're talking about with the Youth Center doing, we've got our summer program right now. We've got other programs that we're going to flesh out, but they're sort of contingent on other places. So they're sort of linked to camps and stuff that have already been established, and we're just making partnerships with them. I would say, you know, the JEDI committee here in town, which is our Justice, Equity, Diversity, Inclusion committee, is always hard at work trying to come up with new events. I know that they were trying to come up with a sort of an international week where we would have a series of events just spotlighting all the different cultures that kind of, you know, participate in the area and make up the fabric of our, you know, municipality. Trinity United does a support group every Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month, for the loved ones, the parents, the guardians of queer folks and children. We have info on that here at the Tin Roof, but we also have info posted all over town. And I know that there's some interest in there even being a support group all year round for adults who are part of the community, to just feel that little extra support. Just, you know, I can only do the youth, but there's been expressed interest to me and members of the JEDI committee that there needs to be a space for the adults now too. So it's nice that we sort of paved that way.
If someone's listening to this interview and wants to find out more so that they can come to the event, where can they go and find it?
You can hit up the Pop-Up Pride. I believe they have a Facebook page. I could be wrong, but we also have info on the Home Rainbow Youth Center page about Pop-Up Pride. They can come into the Tin Roof directly. We have a poster and those informational pamphlets on volunteering. They can also go to Amy McQuaid's office directly, which is right across from the municipal building in the municipal parking lot downtown. And she, of course, she's the founder. So you go straight to the source there.
Megan Fox, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
I appreciate it, Rob. Always a pleasure.
That was Megan Fox, an organizer for Pop-Up Pride. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.